My sisters, my brothers, the Lord be with you. This reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. Sisters and my brothers, this is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks, Tim. So, my brothers and sisters, we're back again to John 6. I know it gets you all excited 3 weeks later to be continuing with this great chapter, but it is at the bedrock of our tradition, of our faith, and who we claim to be here at St. Monica's. And so it is important for us to remember again the 5,000 that was hungry, you know, after having listened to our Lord for a whole day, and he takes a few fish and a few loaves and he blesses and he spreads them out, and there are 12 baskets left over of food. So he took this small, meager little fragments and he multiplied it. And they're astounded by that. And so he takes off and spends a little time in the evening at peace and at rest. He's kind of recovering from the day. He goes down into the temple at Capernaum the next day, right next to the house of his dear friend Peter and his family. And 5,000 people arrive, the same 5,000 that he fed. And of course, they want more bread. They want more fish. And not only do they want that, they want the way in which he did this, how he multiplied it, so that they won't have to work anymore. They can live on Easy Street, you know, just a little bread here, a little fish here, and it'll all be wonderful. And so he says to them, "You're barking up the wrong tree." And the first week we talked about the great hungers of our life. What are those hungers? And he says, "You're dead wrong if that's all that you're interested in. That I am the bread of life, and if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you will live forever." So the first week we talked about the hunger of life. Last week we talked about the guarantee of eternal life, that promise that we will live forever. And today we're going to just spend a few minutes on that great gift of Eucharist. The power and the gift and the grace of the Eucharist. For the Jew, and why the 5,000, as you will see next week if you're here and tuned in, they literally just walk away from Jesus. Because blood was the life force and they were not allowed to even to touch blood, yet alone to drink the blood. And any blood that pierced the flesh was absolutely unable to be eaten. And so for them to drink the blood and to eat the flesh was beyond. And I suppose they had conjectures of cannibalism or something in their minds and hearts. And so they walked from him. But our Lord stands at that moment, at that critical moment in John's gospel. John does not go into the institution of the Eucharist at the end. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. John is this eagle. You see him up there? There he is. You can see him if you're on this side. That's John. And he's got that big eagle because he's soaring. He's lived some time and has reflected on all of this. And so his gospel is a much more challenging gospel for us. And so he says, in the words of Jesus, in the very center part of that teaching, ever before the end, right in the center, I am the bread of life. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. So my brothers and sisters, as a pastor of this community, that's all. I mean, all of the things we do, all of the great work that happens, all of the stuff surrounding this liturgy and other liturgies and the outreach and the care for all kinds of it's all centered primarily in this celebration, in this gift of Eucharist. It is the body and blood of Christ. So our church, with all of the mistakes, with all the human stuff that flies around it, in the center of that, the very source of that, the thing that keeps us rock bed in our belief is this great gift, this gift of the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus. And so we are gathered here each Sunday. And I stand before you on a Sunday because that's all I'm really about. I'm not a fundraiser. You might think I am, but I'm not. I'm your waiter. That's what I do. I happen to be the head waiter, by the way. I stand at the table. And that's what I do. This weekend, as an example, we had 2 funerals this weekend. We had 3 weddings this weekend. We had children come for baptisms. We had 20 people about to enter into that next big phase of the catechumenate and all of these things, liturgies, but it's all centered. All of it is centered in this great gift of Eucharist. And that's why we're here. And that's the guarantee that we say and do our very best each week to you, is that whatever we do, of all the things we do, we want to make sure that when you come here for Eucharist, that you feel that welcome, that you feel that you are welcome to this table, that you feel that your waiter is being attentive along with all of the people that surround this community, and that you feel that what you receive here is worthy of the week and the involvement of so many of all of your lives and all of the great work that you do. So it's a privilege for me. It's a privilege for us to do everything we can to make that the center, the core of our life of faith. And so one little thought that I'm going to suggest to you tonight, and Dan and I talked a little bit about it. It's his idea, not mine. So I say Dan and I, but it was really Dan's. To have a moment or two after communion. We've become so wound up in life that we don't take that time. I remember growing up in East Los Angeles as a kid, and I remember coming to Mass at the Grand Church there in East Los Angeles, and I would receive Holy Communion, and I'd come back as a kid, and I'd kneel in the pew, and I'd say, my God, I just received our Lord. And I would think about it. I mean, I'd be singing, but I would think about that. And I'd even sometimes stay after Mass for a few minutes just to relish that moment. Now I finish Mass, I'm out the door, I'm shaking hands, and I go in and have a coffee. You know, you can become used to it. My brothers and sisters, it is so important for us, you and I, just to take that little time, especially as we receive our Lord, We are what? What we eat is what we are, what we become. If you sit around and eat Big Macs all of your life, you're going to turn into that secret sauce. That's what's going to happen to you. That's what happens. What we eat is what we become. But if we're inattentive to that, if we don't see that, then it doesn't take that root, that factitive root in our lives. So we're gonna just try to emphasize that tonight and ask you to do that when you receive that gift, to think about that. You've received, you've taken into you, and ever so gradually we become that gift of our Lord and Savior. And finally, I heard about a restaurant in Hollywood. I don't know the name of it. I'd tell you if I knew it. But they will take 5% off your meal price if you will leave your iPhone with them at the desk. Did you hear about that place? Does anyone know where it is? Where is it? Okay, well, there it is. I just think that's incredible. How many of us ever eat a meal anymore? Either with people we love or with our families. We rush through this meal, and then all week long we're on the move, eating in front of televisions or iPhones or iPads or I don't know what we're doing. Wouldn't it be great this week just to call a friend and sit down and enjoy a meal? Or for God Almighty's sakes, to sit down with your family and enjoy a meal. When I went back to my old little house that I grew up in as a kid in East Los Angeles, and I went through all of the house because my parents were dead now, and my sister was gone, and my aunt was gone, and my family was gone. And these people that I knew bought this house, and so I went in and we were visiting it. And I went into the dining room, and I went into the living room, went into my bedroom, and my little bit was so tiny when I saw. But where I wept and where I remembered was this tiny little, what we call the kitchenette, I don't know what you call it, but off the kitchen, a little place where we shared a meal. We shared a meal every night together. That wasn't always sweet. You know, we had some arguments, we cried and we laughed, but we shared the meal. We had that opportunity to be nourished, not just by bread alone, but by the power and the gift and the grace with those with whom we walk our way. So I'm just going to make two little recommendations tonight, just that little time. Take 2 more minutes and stay till after communion. And let's let it center into our lives. Let's do that. Let's try to take some opportunity today, tomorrow, this week, to enjoy that meal. The meal we've received and the meal that is a foretaste of the great heavenly meal that my brothers and sisters in all eternity, you and I will share together. And our promise here at St. Monica's, I say that in the name of all of these great people that's around us, is that we'll do everything we can to make this meal a strength, food, and nourishment for your journey. Amen.